This one, where does this go?
The bottom of the stack.
No, but this.
Oh, that? Yeah, anywhere in the stack.
Oh, it's not a particular page.
No, it's just an appendix.
Oh, okay. Okay. Attempts to please the Lord for four reasons.
What page is it?
11. Yeah, you can.
11's from before. These are new pages. You don't have them. I see.
Yeah.
You have.
No, I don't.
You don't have.
Yeah, these two. Yeah, I'll get them for you.
Okay. Religion, economic development, sense gratification, these are described in the Vedas as trivarga, or three ways to salvation. Within these three categories are education and self-realization, ritualistic ceremonies performed according to Vedic injunction, logic, the science of law and order, and the various means of earning one's livelihood. These are the external subject matters of study in the Vedas, and therefore I consider them material. However, I consider surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu to be transcendental. At Bhagavatam 7.6.26. So, in other words, religion, economic and development, and sense gratification. This is trivarga. Through these, you use these to obtain salvation. Right? So, and as we understand, salvation for the materialist is a big thing. So he has to be very much detached from the whole material element, just due to his material understanding, his piety. But for the devotee, because of his attachment to Krishna, then these three are engaged in Krishna's service. That generates, salvation. You understand? It's not due to his material piety, it's due to his transcendental endeavor, right? Pleasing Krishna, that gets it. So now, all the things that are done within religion, economic development, sense gratification, these cover all the topics other than philosophy, right? I mean, so education, so that means study of the Vedas, study of the grammar, study of the rituals, performance of the rituals, right? You know, his own sadhana and all that as a brahmachari. Then the continuation of that is grihastha vanaprasanyas, right? So then logic, that'll be used in connection with the philosophy, right? It's not the philosophy itself, it's the way of presenting it. And then the science of law and order, so that'll be your dharma shastra, you know, dharma, artha, niti, and that. Various means of earning one's livelihood. So within those books, how you're going to maintain yourself. In other words, those are studied as part of the lifestyle, but now what one you use as your occupation. Right? So these are all external. Right? Does that make sense? So it's just surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, that's transcendental. So in other words, a philosophy that describes that, the study of that, the practice of that, that's what's transcendental. Associating with those in connection with that, that's transcendental. Does that make sense? Right? So in other words, the transcendental is being discussed in this course. And what is to be engaged in the Lord's service, right, that will generate that, you know, is that's what's in the Bhakti Anuchana. Mm-hmm. You understand? So all the other topics are in there. And this line, this is the what's transcendental. Okay? Does that make sense? So in that way, then, all the topics are covered. Man attempts to please the Lord for four reasons, according to his condition of life. From fear, for satisfying material aspirations, from a sense of duty, and from genuine attraction. Right? So we see fear is that if I don't do it, there'll be a problem. Right? You know, in other words, that's why you always have, if you don't do this, then, you know, one will go to hell, or one will lose all the money, or there'll be destruction of the family, or lose, you know, all these things. That's fear. Because otherwise, if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't bother with it. Then, for satisfying material aspirations, so we can see that's better. Right? Because fear, that's ignorance. So here we see that there's some sense of passion. Is that you can see that actually by following this, there's something that I'll gain. Someone's willing to work very hard because you're gaining that. If you're not going to gain that, you're not going to do it.
But it's still mixed with ignorance, right?
Yeah, yeah. But still, the point is the passion is the drive.
Yeah,
is so you're following the duties because you know what it'll get you. The other one you're doing just because you're worried about a bad reaction. It's not that you're really have the motive for the good reaction. So sometimes we take, the simple, and so it's actually better. But that's the mode of ignorance. The mode of passion is better. Because the person in ignorance, he'll also do the devotion, he'll go to Mangalar, because if not, then something bad may happen, or this, that, you know, the other. Then there's more dynamic. He knows you'll get a benefit, so he works hard, yes.
But you can see it's all mixed.
Yes, but still, if you analyze them separately so you can identify them. Because people, certain things because of fear, certain became because of material aspirations, certain things because of duty. Like that, you know, certain they have a genuine attraction. So all those, but these are the four reasons. This means your typical example will be just one, you know. But that's how you analyze it, you know. Just like karma yoga, you study just that. Jnana yoga, you study just that. But the actual point is that all these things go on at once. Right? So depending on the individual, something's more prominent, something's less prominent, or at different times, different ones are prominent. You might have a person, predominantly fear is there, or material desires is there, but there's other times when something else is there. But then you'll have those that it just depends on what it is and what time of the day, and then it keeps changing. So it's just, does that make sense? But you can analyze so that you can analyze for yourself. Then better than that is you're doing it because you're supposed to do it. But you're only doing it because you're supposed to do it. It's the good thing to do. I'm a good person, so I do good stuff. Right?
Can we say that duty sometimes is a lack of knowledge also?
No, not necessarily, because how would you know it's a duty unless you have knowledge? Still, that's knowledge. You've gained knowledge from others. It may not be that you have much realization in it. But you've gained the knowledge from others.
Well, the point in that is when some religions of the world, they cover like fear, material desires, and some sense of duty, because, you know, father told, whatever is important told, so they never get to the point of abduction. Can you say that?
Most not, because generally if someone does have this attraction, they're generally known as a saint, you know, within the line. Yeah, they're very rare. I mean, it's just like, how you say, in all the history, you know, so you're dealing with what? Yeah, almost like 5,000 years of history, right? Now, of someone who actually wanted to know, have knowledge, right? There's only one instance where the person was told, guys, because of his background, I think he wasn't qualified, right? But so what he figured out is that when they're having the classes, if he goes, because they had flat roofs, right? So he goes on the roof and puts his ear against the thing, he can hear what they're saying. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So there's only one instance in history. Huh? Yeah, does that make sense? So you don't know this one?
No.
You don't? You didn't, you forgot all your Hebrew studies?
Most.
Most, okay. What was his name? Was that Benjamin, or that was, I don't remember either.
Okay.
They just mentioned.
Yeah, but he has a name.
Yeah,
he has a name.
We have established.
Yeah, yeah. And he has ears like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So then somehow or another, I'm not sure how it worked out, but they figured out he was on the roof, and it was very cold, and he was almost like frozen. So they figured, okay, so let him come inside and learn, like that. So that means in 5,000 years, you have one who had that genuine attraction to learning the knowledge, right? You know, so like that. So you have a few here and there. Like that. That's the, yes.
So duty is, that's to do with identity.
Yeah, means I'm supposed to do this and this and that. So that's why that one also comes in here, that sense of duty. You know, we are here, and so you should remember the, what do you call it? The duties of our line and the traditions of our line and all that kind of stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. And then genuine attraction. So that means you're following the duty, but that's the next stage. So you don't have, means that your genuine attraction is based on the proper performance of duty. Otherwise, it won't be genuine attraction. It'll just be attraction. But it won't be actual genuine, because genuine means it will last. It'll be solid.
That's Raghunuga.
Yes. Basically like that. But now, we generally, it means it is Raghunuga, but it's just a matter of, we call it Rag when it is prominent. You know what I'm saying? When fear is prominent, we call it that. When satisfying material aspirations is there as prominent. Like, one does the activity because he wants everything to work out nice, and but by not doing it, he's worried that bad will happen. Mm. Right? So it's a mix.
Yeah.
But the fear of bad happening is the prominence. So we'll say it's fear. Even though there means, of course, they're even considering doing it because there's a sense of duty. Mm. Right? You know, I'm a devotee, and so it's my business to serve Krishna and follow the order of gurus, so I'm doing. But the predominance may be fear, or it's, you know, fear may be there. You don't want anything bad to happen, but your focus is more on what you're going to get from it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Or it may be, you know, the fear is there. You don't want to do something wrong. You may have, you know, if you're pious, you'll get, but the main thing is this is your duty. I'm doing this because I'm supposed to. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that you know, the man goes to work, right? But out of fear, because he doesn't want to have an unfortunate situation or starve to death or be, you know, socially considered a nebbish or something like that. Does that make sense? You know? Or it may be that it's because he wants the money and he wants what he can do with it and all the ideas he had. Or he's doing, it means he wants money, he doesn't want it like that, but it's a sense, I'm doing this, I'm taking care of my family, I'm doing the right thing.
He has his picture.
Yeah, he has his picture there. You know, like that. Does that make sense? So this is, means all, means it's not that the others aren't there. It's just which is prominent. You know what I'm saying? It's just like when it comes to, you know, doing all the other services like that, we don't see necessarily you know, any sense of anything. But when it comes to the halava, then there's a genuine sense of attraction. Like that, you know. But you wouldn't say that the person's on the platform of rag, right? You know, because it's only connected to the halava and nothing else. You know?
Is there anything else?
Okay, that's another, yeah. One sees that completeness.
Yeah, yeah. Transcendence.
Halavan. This Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, and Halavan. The higher, what no one talks about, the secret. Yes.
So these four reasons marriage are connected to the four reasons that somebody is attracted to Krishna?
Means it's why they would follow. Yeah, to please the Lord would be these four.
Yeah, he's a pious person.
Sorry?
He's a pious person.
Yes, it would be a pious person. You know, because it says the four kinds of pious, then how you say? They surrender.
Yes, yes.
Like that. You know, so you have the means your arta, he's an anxiety. So there's fear, there's this and that, right? Your artarti means he wants something like that. The jigyasu, it's, you know, this is just what you're supposed to do. But, you know, as soon as he's fulfilled his desire in knowledge, then he may also, his sense of duty may also go away, you know, like that. And the jnani then is the one who actually wants to know the Lord. So you could say that is there. But all these are there. Everybody has these four. It's just a matter of what's prominent at any one time. You know what I'm saying? It's just because you're picking up something with your hand doesn't mean that your feet disappear, your head disappears. You know, eating the halava, right? So your hand picks up. There's no head, right? But as soon as it gets close, like that, then the head manifests. You put it in the mouth and the hand disappears, right? You know, and then you go to get the hand. You know, it's not like that. They're all there at once. You know?
Would look interesting.
Yeah, it would be quite amusing, wouldn't it, to watch this, you know, that. Some people are inspired to worship the Lord because of sickness, poverty, fear of hell, or fear of death. Right? So that would be reasons for fear, right? Sickness, so he's afraid of his existence, like that. Poverty, you know, He's just, he's not doing very well. He's not secure, so lack of security. Fear of hell, just that, you know, impiety will create a long-term bad, right, rather than just sickness and poverty. So this is a bit longer, right? You know, fear of death, you know, because death is there. He wants to, you know, doesn't want to die. But, you know, you kind of have to accept that it kind of happens. So it's just, you acknowledge it, but out of fear that you're worshiping, rather than that's the opportunity to go back to Godhead. So therefore, you're there and attracted. So, you know, that's your way out, right, you know. Others worship the Lord praying for material happiness, desiring greater material progress. Right? These are the material aspirations. Right? He wants to be happy, or he wants more progress, because if you have more progress, he thinks he'll be happy. Others just want to be happy. They're not worried about the progress. Right? These two types of people, though beginning their worship out of fear of material aspiration, often become attached to pure worship. Since worship of the Lord produces genuine joy, right? So this is, it says why they...
What are those two types?
Fear and satisfying material aspirations, right? Because what he's done is broken down and given four reasons of one and two reasons for the other, right? He's broken them down. So he's saying, generally those who approach in this way, the artarti, is... they become attracted to pure devotional service, because you take it up out of maybe these reasons, but by performing the devotional service, it makes you happy. So then they just continue doing devotional service because of that happiness.
Okay.
Right? Yes.
If we see that devotees, sometimes when they join, for example, young, they become attracted to pure devotional service. Temple,
right, right,
you know,
right.
The director of devotional service.
Right.
After some time, they get involved in family life, and it seems like they are more attracted by the material desires. They do many things out of duty.
Well, that's good if they're doing it out of duty.
They continue on their past devotional service, but it's not as direct as it used to be.
Well, they're addressing there, because when you first take it up, it's something new. So when one is very enthusiastic about it, then it takes all the focus, so there's no need of anything else. But once it becomes part of the lifestyle, it becomes part of what you do, then naturally other things of what you do become also come back. Does that make sense? So, in other words, let's say they're basically, you could say, you know, most people are following a path that's kind of connected with the concept of family life. You know, making money, having a place, having friends, having relationships, all that. Then they take up Krishna consciousness, so that becomes more prominent. So that's there, but once that becomes like adjusted within that, then it, one's natural kind of like proclivities before again come back in. So now it's those things and devotional service. Does that make sense? So that's why it's important to be able to see how those things connect to devotional service. Because then, instead of being a distraction, then they are, it means, in other words, instead of distracting one from Krishna consciousness, they're ways to engage yourself in Krishna consciousness. Right? Because, in other words, if you're distracted, you're not doing devotional service. Right? And since these things are important, then you can either be distracted by them or use them. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say, you like cooking, so you could be distracted by the cooking, or you could use the cooking in Krishna service. So in the same way, family life can be a distraction, or it's something you use in Krishna service. You know, money, so it could be a distraction, or it can be used in Krishna service, or one's position, or whatever it is. Does that make sense? But much of the time, from not understanding the philosophy so well, or even understanding it, not seeing how to apply it in that way, then one sees it as two different things. You know, I'm doing, there's the sadhana and then there's the lifestyle. But the point is the lifestyle is supposed to be that whatever you're doing, you're connecting it to the Lord. But we have the ideas that only if it's direct devotional activities, that's lifestyle and everything else is maya. No, lifestyle is whatever, however you situate yourself as brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. Right? And so according to that, that's what you engaged. Does that make sense? So generally when we take it up, it's more kind of like the brahmachari. We just fully absorb and like that. But with time, if the grihastha position is the natural position, you know, of the conditioning, then one will gradually go back into that. But if one sees, oh, that's the next step. Now you've taken all that enthusiasm and using it to connect everything to Krishna, but it's in a very simple form. Now use the same to expand it into everything that you do. Right? Does that make sense? It won't, of course, give the same taste, because indirect activities engaged in Lord's service, it's the devotional aspect that'll be inspiring, but the actual engagement of the thing, that will give you liberation. You know, so liberation doesn't give that much taste compared to the direct devotional activity. So that's why with time, that's the idea of vanaprastha, is that you've engaged the things, you've freed yourself from those, and the direct activities are much more. So the direct activities become more prominent, right? The brahmachari, the direct activities are prominent. The grihastha, the tendencies, the indirect are prominent. Right? Though, ideally, if you can do it, have it at least balanced, that's nice. But vanaprastha means now that direct are prominent, the indirect are made in prominent, are less prominent. Though they may have, the vanaprastha may have more indirect elements than a brahmachari. Right? Because it is his kutir, and it is his yajna, and it is his like that. For the brahmachari, it means he's begging, it's his what he gets. The brahmachari is begging, it goes to the teacher. It's not his place, it's the teacher's place. You know what I'm saying? So there's a little bit more, but still the prominence is the direct. Is that something? Yeah.
So it means if we learn how to engage everything during the grihastha life, during the major period,
yes,
then naturally the vanaprastha stage will come?
Naturally, yes, because it means, it's just like if you do anything new, how long is it you enthusiastically do it? Yeah, but I'm saying, but there's still a limit no matter what it is, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah, you know, hitting yourself on the head with a hammer. You know, you might not do that for too long. Right? You know, But the point is after a while it gets old. Because that's the point, is you're engaging a material endeavor, but you're connecting it to Krishna, so you're getting the spiritual result, but still the medium, the reason for dealing is because of material considerations, the conditioning. It may be duty, so therefore it's the conditioning, it's what you're supposed to do. But in any case, why do you have the conditioning? Because that's what you wanted before. You know what I'm saying? So I'm being a dutiful grihastha and this, but why are you a grihastha? Narad Muni's not a grihastha. The four Kumaras aren't grihastas. And the four Kumaras were invited to be grihastas, right? But some, they weren't interested. Why not? You know. So therefore, because that's their. Does that make sense? You know, Narad Muni is previous, as he explained, Bhava's previous lifetime. Then he was just wandering and absorbing himself. So he was like on the transcendental platform. So there was no interest. So therefore, this lifetime, it didn't even come up as a option like that. I think after Lord Shiva and four Kumaras, and Brahma tried to figure out a different solution. So Narada didn't even get asked. Didn't do. Okay. Those who worship the Lord out of a feeling of gratitude and are those motivated by a sense of duty. Right, so in other words, you see the benefits, so therefore you want to do. Right, because sense of duty, here's an interesting point, because gratitude is actually one of the five, faculties of the intelligence, or one of the five elements of the intelligence. So, and to be dutiful means generally you're intelligent, you're doing. So at least that much you understand that this is the right thing to do. So then it's there's the but more sense of intelligence, right? Mm-hmm. But it also has that sense of duty, which has a particular strong emotional context, right? The other is what I'll get. I'm motivated because I'll get a benefit, mm-hmm. right? And the others are fear. I don't want to lose a benefit, or maybe I don't get a benefit, but I don't want to have it to be in a bad situation. Right? Does that make sense? Right. In other words, the person in the mode of ignorance is endeavoring to stay away from a bad situation, dreams about a good situation. Person in the mode of passion, he just endeavors for a good situation. Right? Because he knows if you endeavor and get a good situation, then you don't have a bad one. Right? If I have money, I don't not have money. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so then gratitude, they see the benefit that they're getting from the spiritual master, from the shastra, from the devotees, from the whole process, how Krishna is very kind, all these different things. So out of a sense of duty, he does this, right? Those who naturally gain satisfaction worshipping the Lord without motives of fear, desire, or duty begin their worship with attraction, raag, right? So either it comes naturally or it will come with time. Because if you perform the duty for long enough, that taste and everything comes at purification, so then the attraction to it becomes more prominent than that sense of duty or gratitude. Mm. Does that make sense?
Mars. Krishna says that renunciation and the mode of passion is impermanent, but he says so it doesn't lead to the elevation of renunciation.
No.
We do our activities, whether we're into doing Sankirtan that day or not, but we just do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And how is it that renunciation...
But that's not in passion.
...is improved?
No, that's in goodness.
Yeah, how is the mechanics? How is that working?
Because renunciation mode of passion means I'm not... It means Arjuna in the beginning, in the first chapter of Gita, that's renunciation of the mode of passion. Because he sees, I'm not going to get the material benefit I wanted, therefore I won't do the work.
Yeah.
That's renunciation of the mode of passion.
Yeah.
Renunciation of the mode of goodness is you're supposed to renounce.
Yeah.
There, he's supposed to do his duty, but he's not going to get it, so therefore he doesn't want it. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah.
You know, the king says that, he's going to do that, So even if it means he may lose something because he said it, he'll do it. So that's the mode of goodness. The businessman, he says he's going to do this, and then when he goes back, either someone tells him or he makes more calculation or things change, he finds he's going to lose. He breaks his promise. Right? So that's renunciation mode, passion, because it's he doesn't want to lose.
And is duty higher than passion because it's less self-centered?
It's not necessarily less self-centered. It's what the self is supposed to be doing. Mm. Right? In other words, passion is you're doing because you want to do it. Goodness is you're doing because you're supposed to do it. Right? And then here then they're getting the point of that natural attraction, that's the pure goodness.
In pure goodness, the question of you're supposed to do it, it doesn't come up?
No. It's just that's naturally what you want to do. Now you do have a point, because there's a fine point here, is that those from Vaikuntha, then their natural attraction they like to express through the form of regulation and rules, right? Because it creates a very nice, you know, environment, stable environment to express that. Does that make sense? Because otherwise one might think that they don't have spontaneous attraction. They do, but it's they want to express through rules like that, you know. So, but after Dwarka, that's not the thing. It's just you're attracted. That's the prominent element. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maris, duty is acting as a servant of Krishna.
Yeah,
I'm a servant.
But I'm saying you may do also out of fear that I'm a servant of Krishna, so you know that, or I'm a servant of Krishna, so therefore by doing this, then I'll get the benefit, right? Because you're talking about karma, Mr. Bhakti, is you're performing the activity, it's getting you the benefit, but the benefit it means parts for Krishna, but parts for you. You know what I'm saying? So the point is there's a connection, but there's also the part that's mixed. So that will, you know, as we were discussing in the other class, that will give one trouble eventually. But the point is that it's connected to Krishna. One will be purified and one will get a taste for Krishna consciousness. So slowly, slowly one will give that up. Like that. Okay. Vritti. Having demonstrated the necessity of worship, now is described the different levels of consciousness of the world, worshipper. Fear, bhaya, desire, asha, duty, kartavya buddhi, and attraction, raga. Kartavya buddhi. Okay, I've heard that before. Ultimately, the purpose of worship is relationship. Thus, the levels of worship are categorized in a hierarchy according to the degree to which they manifest the jiva's natural propensity to love and serve God. Right? Okay.
Vritti comes before what we are going to read?
No, vritti is in the box.
I understand. This vritti refers to what we read or what we are going to read.
Yeah, it's like a purport on what we've read.
It's what we read, but it also might have a sangati to what we're going
sometimes
to read.
Sometimes it transitions.
It is different.
Yeah, because here it says, thus, you know, ultimately there, but he's pointing out is that this element of raga is coming up. Right? So the hierarchy. So now he's discussed the first three, because those are pretty straightforward. Right, they're pretty. Means we're used to those three, right? That's you know, on a good day it's duty, and on a bad day it's, you know, fear, and you know, when we're inspired, then it's what do you call it? You know, that we're going to get our material benefit, you know, and then when we have the sense of duty, we speak bad about them, or when we, you know, like, you know, whatever, you know, it goes back and forth. But raga, now that's more of a, because we would tend to call working because out of material aspiration as, you know, a natural attraction. But it's actually not, because it's what you're getting for yourself. Well, the natural attraction is just, you know, that relationship, that ability to interact with that particular entity. So that's, it's different. You know, but we would call that spontaneity, natural attraction. So it kind of has that form. but its actual basis is not really that. You know, so you can give example in the material of that, because you see somebody's new and fresh, so they get very attractive. Is that something? It's that same kind of element, but yeah. Raga is defined as the tendency of the mind to become spontaneously attracted to an object immediately on seeing it, without intellectual processing. Right. So one may say, okay, well, if I don't have that, how will it develop? No, it's because one is performing the service, one's getting purified, and one's getting a taste. So at some point, then when you see, you know, Krishna or something connected to Krishna, then you have the spontaneous attraction to it, just by seeing it. You may have been seeing it for the last 20 years, but now it's come to the point where you're actually spontaneously attracted. You understand? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, some may say, well, you're either attracted or you're not, you know, like, as if it's these eternal things. It's, you know, if you're attracted, then you're always, and if you're not, you'll never be. No, it's a matter of just time.
Right? For example, if you see the deities and they dress nicely,
yes,
we immediately attracted.
Yes.
If you see them and they're not dressed nicely, or not to our taste,
yes,
it means we don't have the attraction?
No, it means that you're, that element of attraction is means within ruchi, that's the lower form. It means the lower form of ruchi is when everything is very nice according to what you appreciate, you like it. Like the kirtan, you know, either the singing or the tune or the way the musicians are playing or, you know, whatever it is the way you like it, then you're very attracted. You know, you get the taste. And if it's not, then you don't like the kirtan. And the higher form is it doesn't matter. As long as it's the holy name, you're happy. It doesn't matter how good, bad, or otherwise it is. It's the holy name, so you're absorbed. Does that make sense? So eventually it comes to that, because you don't have to worry. In the spiritual world, they're all pretty good at the music and stuff, so you know, you don't have to worry that there's going to be any bad musicians out there.
Because some people, they're really proponents of this theory that people don't know how to be cured, they should do that, so we will become absorbed in whatever it is, whatever. Really
means they should sing or they shouldn't sing?
Sure.
Why should they sing?
Just on that principle. This is the holy name. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad, the way they lead it.
Yeah, so the point, if it doesn't matter if it's good or bad, it also doesn't matter if it's good. You know, so why we're endeavoring for bad, why can't we endeavor for good also? You know what I'm saying? Why only put the bad guys on the list, put the good guys also? You know? Like that, you understand? So it's overbalanced. Yes, it is. But the point is the point is to be attracted to Krishna. So if you're going to be attracted by having nice kirtan, therefore by arranging nice kirtan, if it's possible, then what's the problem? More people will be absorbed, and more people will be inspired. They get purified quicker, and that way, then in the future, you won't necessarily have to arrange it that way. You know what I'm saying? But by saying, no, we have to arrange bad things, we have to, you know, we have to make bad prasad, we have to do all this thing, then the point is then they're saying that this detachment is more important than Krishna. Right? Because the point is, this renunciation is Krishna, but they're not connecting the renunciation actually to Krishna. You know? They're using it as a negative that you don't have, you know what I'm saying? It's natural. Your religionists and others, they get into these things, but generally this kind of thing means that they don't, they themselves, there's a chance that their own life is not going well the way they like it, because if their own life is going nicely, why would they look at the negative? You know, the point is if it's, no, but we only want this one to sing this and that, but there's others who sing okay, but maybe they're not in ecstasy like that, then, you know, what's the problem? Everybody's singing, sad. Learn to be appreciated. But if someone is just downright bad, you know, and no one can sing, no one can keep, why would they do it? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, you need, you know, 5 cooks to cook, you know, everything during the week, and, you know, 2 of them are really good and 3 of them are okay. But it's not that, no, we look around for the guys that are bad and put them in there and stuff like, you know, so we're cooking for Krishna. Point is if we have the opportunity to have nice kirtan, the kirtan is for Krishna. It's not a matter of it's there so that we learn to like it or not. It's for Krishna. That's what we're doing. And we should learn to like things for Krishna. And since it's being for Krishna, we try to arrange the best that we have. So we don't overemphasize it if it's going to be too much trouble, or we don't underestimate it. Right? In other words, let us say you're doing you want to do kirtan that day. It's some special day, so you have 8 hours of kirtan, and you have, six or eight, the best kirtan people. So why wouldn't you have them? But now let's say we're doing this for the next, week. So they'll do some and others will do some. But it's not that we don't pick them because we want to, we have to put in the worst guys. So this is overly balancing it the other way and not understanding the process. The process of Krishna is wonderful, so why not have, if there are people who can do it, why would you avoid them? Otherwise, it's nice to sitting there peacefully. So why doesn't he, we arrange that, people come in and start whacking with pillows and poking him, with sticks while he's trying to chant his Gayatri. He should learn to be absorbed and not be disturbed by, the external, onslaughts of material nature. Right? Like that. That's Gita, right? The sage who's not disturbed by the, And so while he's sitting there, then, we'll bring along a block of ice, crushed ice, and put it on his back, and then do that for a few minutes, and then bring out the hair dryer, and then the heat, and then, like this, and all the different things like that, while he's there trying to chant, and bring a nice plate of hot prasad, put it under his nose, and just as he opens his eyes, take it away. So is that what we're supposed to do? No, it's just a natural, these things come naturally. In other words, if you have someone who's nice, good, and when we say good, that means the proper attitude also. Because otherwise, maybe they're technically good, but if their mood's wrong, then that's not good. So if someone's there, then why wouldn't they lead? Why is it, no, they can't lead, they always lead. We have to have the bad guys lead also. We have to give them a chance. There's going to be plenty of time to give them a chance. You know what I'm saying? The good kirtanier comes to town and he's there for a few days. But during those 3 days, no, but what about the other guys? Yeah, they got 362 days to lead kirtan. No, but they have to be, you know what I'm saying? There's something wrong. Yes?
How about the situation, there was a Rath Yatra in America and they invited some non-devotee kirtan artists who weren't, card-carrying members of ISKCON. But they are very musical and had large followings of their own. They wanted to expand the scope of the Rath Yatra to attract more people. And it was a controversial thing. What do you think?
Depends. Are they sampradayic or not?
Well, like Karoli Baba, so they have their own.
Yeah. I would tend to, if they wanted to be, you have one of two things. This one is not get involved because you want people to get the right thing. The other is that, or are they there, but they're not the only ones doing kirtan. Set them up so they have their kirtan scene, but the one right in front of the cart is done by the, sampradayic devotees.
Yeah.
It just depends on the situation and their mood. Mm-hmm. The point is you don't want people to, if people become attracted to Krishna consciousness and take, that's nice, but if all the people who are going to be attracted then join Neem Karoli Baba, then that may not be the ideal.
Yeah.
So then you work out something else for them. But, the point is we're having a program. Anyone who wants to come, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you just have to see what's the prominence.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't get the lectures. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do we approach them or they approached us?
We approach them.
Yeah, well, that you don't do. If they approached us, then yeah, why not?
Why? What's the difference, Marshall?
Well, if we approach them, then it's on their terms.
Uh-huh.
And if they approached us, it means they want to be part of our scene. Unless, of course, it's, some way for advertising for themselves. But, what I'm saying? That's the difference. Because the point is, what is the scope? The scope is, if you check how many devotees are in that yatra, right? There's hundreds and hundreds of them. So it's not by bringing Neem Karoli Baba that suddenly all these devotees who have not, involved, 300 or 500 of them are suddenly going to come out of the walls and be so inspired by Prabhupada's instructions. And, no. you know, and the other people, you know, you want them ending up in Vrindavan and never seeing them. So hey,
you know. In his cases, he's notoriously non-philosophical. He just doesn't teach any philosophy. He just has Dhrikirtan, and there's no conclusion.
Yeah. So as long as they're quite happy to come to all our programs and take prasad and listen to our philosophy. But if they just want to spend their time with him, then hey, you know, whatever. Nice, you know. But why would we facilitate it? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Why those guys? Why not? You know, the local. You know how you say the down and out. You know, artists and all that, they can come and do some, you know, meme down the street while it's going, or, you know, some jugglers, or, you know, fire guys, you know, that would also attract attention, right? Get out a brass band, or, you know, some
big floating balloons.
Yeah, you know, I'm saying there's so many ways, why that one?
Yeah.
You know? You know, it's like when Prabhupada's saying, do kirtan, and we're all busy about doing something else, and I don't want to do Harinam. And then when they're doing it, oh, it's all right to do Harinam. Right? You know, so it's a bit sad. Okay. Okay, spontaneously attracted to an object immediately on seeing it without intellectual processing. Because the other is that, you know, here I should be doing this, these are my duties, and so like that, and then it comes to, by engagement, the taste, you get attraction. So it means it's not that process. Raga is just that attraction. But to get to that, you use the intellectual process. That's what Vaidhi Bhakti is. Vaidhi Sadhana is you're using your intelligence. It's called Buddhi Yoga. Raganuga means it's not based on the intellect. You're doing it because, but it's not sentimental without a basis. It's just, it's natural coming up, not because of intellectual. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, because the facts are there. That is our position. But that's not what you're thinking about. But it's not that you can't describe it. It's just... Mm-hmm. Person who has developed this quality of attraction in his heart as soon as he thinks of the Lord... is worshipping the Lord according to Rag. Those who take to worship of the Lord from fear, desire, or duty are not on such a pure level. Footnote 16. The gopis by their lusty desires, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, the Yadus by their familial relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, have obtained the mercy of Krishna. Bhagavatam 7.131. Those who worship the Lord according to Rag are real worshippers. Right? Because then it's purely the relation, because it's duty, it's what my duty, and I'm that, I'm pious, I'm good, I'm a good devotee, I'm doing the right thing. But it's generally, it's connected to Krishna, but it's not, Krishna is not the prominence. Mm-hmm. But Rag, it's you're attracted to Krishna, so Krishna is the total center of it. And we're attracted to the center. Does that make sense? While the other is that it's Krishna's in this center, but it's like we're in the center and Krishna's in the center of the center. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's connected. It works. But it's not quite the same as the other. That's why he's saying that are real worshippers. It's not that the others are bogus. They're worshippers. But then this is real. This is what you're trying to get to. So here the real means this is what we're trying to obtain. Not real means the other ones are nonsense. So if you're doing those, then you're out of it. So you have to feign, you know, real attraction. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Raga is the highest form of worship. The living entity and the Lord have a deep relationship. When Raga appears, this relationship becomes manifest. This relationship is eternal, no doubt. But for the materially bound up soul, it remains hidden. Given the right opportunity, it appears, just as fire appears by striking a match, or a flint, by sadhana or practice, this relationship makes its appearance. Many persons have even achieved this relationship through practice based on fear, desire, and duty. Right? Because the point is this, rag comes from vaidhi. So it's either a matter of it'll come earlier within the madhyama stage, or it will definitely come at the uttama stage. It's just a matter of, it will manifest before prema, right? But the point is it's because the main, how you say, turning point, dynamic turning point in bhava is purva rag, or complete attraction. Right? When that's there, there's nothing else you're attracted to more. Mm-hmm. So it's only Krishna, and it's constant, and mm-hmm. it's full. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that brings it to purva rag. Right? That then moves very quickly to prema.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So it will come. But it's just a matter of, if you know it's there, then it may start developing earlier in the muddiness stage. Right? It's not that we don't have natural attraction to certain things in the neophyte stage. It's just it's not the prominence. Therefore, we don't call it raga. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like we said, it's like all the new bhaktas, they love the prasad. But it's not enough that you would call it that they're on the wrong platform. You know, because they love the prasad, but not necessarily washing the pots. You know, or cutting the vegetables, or, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Many persons, though, even achieve this relationship through practice based on fear, desire, and duty. Dhruva first worshipped the Lord with a desire for a kingdom, right? So that was desire. But by sadhana, there appeared in his heart attraction, born of a pure relationship with the Lord. Thereafter, he refused to accept the benediction of material happiness. So he started there, and that was his drive, but once he got there, then he saw that that actually isn't what he wanted, because it goes to attaining Lord, then there's nothing better than that. So, you know, it wasn't, you know, it sounded good, but it wasn't. So that's the nice thing about devotional service. It doesn't matter where you start. So this idea of trying to take it at these other things that may be considered lower, that therefore they're removed from the process. Because if you're going to do that, then the point is the only real valuable system that is there is the natural attraction by the gopis and other such elevated devotees, where they were attracted immediately and surrendered that moment. Right? Because then if you're removing anything, you know, of any lesser quality, anything else is lesser quality than that. You know? And the point is why you're here in the first place, that now you'll get attracted. So that you're here, then why should you be given the opportunity?
Class dismissed.
Yeah, you know, so, you know what I'm saying? So the point is no, it's through sadhana that it'll be there. But the sadhana means is vaidhi. And then if it naturally develops into the higher states, because that higher stage is ruchi. So the point is ruchi doesn't come until the steadiness. And steadiness doesn't come till there's an artha nivritti. So if you're going to demand that the neophyte devotee is now going to function on the higher level of ruchi, then that's not scientific at all. Nothing. It's simply their own sense of something. You know? And unfortunately, that particular sense, if you increase it, is the cause of most religious wars over the last so many, how you say, not eons. Centuries,
yeah.
eons, yes, you know, like that. You know, it's just like, you know, the you know, any branch of any religion or any religion thinks the other religion is going to hell. So that's why it's, you know, you can't be doing that. But even within their own, then everybody else is going to hell. So ultimately, it just comes down to you and your friends, and that's it. You know. And ultimately, of course, it's just you, but you know, you don't want to say it too loudly. But if they keep connected to you, then maybe they'll get some benefits. So. Okay. Bhaktivinoda Thakura answers the question, how is rag obtained? He proclaims that one need not search far. It is a quality intrinsic to all. For those in the conditioned state, however, it must be awakened by vaidhi sadhana, worship compelled by a sense of duty. Right? So that's your better. It means it can work at these lower, but the thing is he was doing sadhana. So even though he had the drive, he had that sense that his mother said that you have to worship the Lord, and Narad Muni gave him the process. Those real reason to perform the sense of duty was his need for the kingdom. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know. Is that, yeah.
Or is this that way the different ashrams are there? So for Brahmachari, then temple commander is encouraging the sense of duty.
Encouraging the sense of duty. And then in Grihastha life, the wife is encouraging the sense of duty. Yes. Yeah. Right. That's why there's need of many varieties of shoes, because you need many varieties of inspiration.
And plates.
Plates work. Radios used to be good because they weren't too expensive and they were big. You know, but now it's like, you know, an iPod is expensive and small. There's a good chance you'll miss. So. So then it doesn't matter if it hits him or not, because then
his one.
Because it gets the effect anyway. Just by picking it up, you get the effect. You know.
So it's the same modes but different situation.
Yes, it's just, in other words, practice is just where you like to practice. You know, where you will be absorbed practicing. You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean the modes. It's the same modes,
It's the same, but it's the situation in which you would find that nice.
Like, I mean, before it was plates, and then now it's become iPod.
That's there. But what I'm meaning is that the one person is happy, you know, sitting down on the bench with all the people walking by eating his snack. That someone else would be uncomfortable there. So, okay, you want to sit there and other people walking by, but it has to be in some high-end cafe. You know, because if you're just sitting on the bench, you know, that's not very social. Because this has social, but other people just don't want to be watched while they eat, so therefore they want to be inside. Others wouldn't want to be in a restaurant, they'd rather be at home. But the point is, the eating process is the same. It's just the situation you're comfortable in. That's why there's the different varnas and ashram. What situation you're comfortable in to be absorbed in Krishna service. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the, you know, and then according to the individual, home has a different meaning. You know, someone is a little cozy little place, someone sits quaint, you know, someone sits, you know, old, you know, how you say something modern, someone is very big or, you know, prestigious, or, you know, whatever it is, it's just, or someone is, you know, it was affordable, you know. So the point is it's whatever is you would call home. You know what I'm saying? Because some people, they're in a big mansion, but, you know, they just feel, you know, intimidated by it. And someone else's, you know, the place is too small, you know, and so every time you turn around, you knock something over, you know. So you just have to, what you're comfortable in, then being comfortable, you serve. So that's why sometimes they think, oh, he has so much facility and money, you know, how can he be a devotee? You know, no, the point is that's where he's comfortable. If that's his natural, in other words, if the person was really rich before joining, then him being in that facility, that's normal for him. So then he's able to come and be fully absorbed, because then he can go home and be in that environment he's comfortable in. And it may give the facilities, you know, this and that, you know, that he can, you know, do his service. But others will say, oh, we say, you know, all that money could be used for something else, like that. It can also, I mean, the limousine also can take devotees out on Harinam. You know, you say, you could sell that, and you could do this and that. Yeah, you could. But you could also go out on Harinam. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And as he progresses, he would tend to be more comfortable wherever.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's just, if it's useful in the service, he'll continue like that. If it's not, then he won't.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, from 15 cars, if they cut it down to 5, that's a lot. But someone else will say, you know, one's the rest, or why a car? You know, like this. So you're always going to have someone judging things from their own mode. But the point is it's the attitude in which it's used. Right? Has anybody ever recommended that Yudhishthira Maharaj was not rightly situated as the emperor of the world? He was actually better off in the forest, because then he was actually, you know, detached and everything. But, you know, when he's there, that's a bit over the top. You know, all that opulence, you know, emperor of the world, all that. You understand?
Not loudly.
Yeah. Okay. but the point is it's not something, you know, no one worries about Sudama Brahman now has, you know, more opulence than Indra. You know what I'm saying? No one has a problem that Indra has so much opulence.
No.
Right? The difficulty is Indra gets distracted, Sudama Vipra doesn't. You know what I'm saying? The Pandavas don't. That's just their natural position.
And the distraction is the problem, not the facilities.
Yeah, the point is you want to sit down. You sit down in a chair, you sit on the floor, you sit wherever you're comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, when Drupad, you know, Maharaj, he invited the Pandavas, you know, back to the place, and he put out these huge, you know, shringasans and everything like that, and all these different things around. And so when they were asked to sit, they just went and sat on them just as if they were normal. You know, it's just like if I, you know, gave you just an ordinary chair and said, sit down, you know, you just sit. You know what I'm saying? But this huge thing, if it wasn't like that, you feel, you know, here's, you know, it's just so fancy like that, then you know that's not normal. They just sat down as if it could have been an ordinary chair. So then that's just where they're comfortable. So they use that for Krishna. That's the point. If the whole creation is Krishna's, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. The point is you think it's yours. Even if you have nothing, if you think that nothing is your nothing, you know, hey, don't touch my nothing, like that, you know. So then that's still the problem. And if one has so much, he thinks it's all Krishna's. He's the actual Akinchana Kocha. But the point is in being absorbed in direct devotional service, then having less material facilities and responsibilities gives you more time to chant and study and preach and associate. Does that make sense? Because the other things have to be managed. So as long as you're comfortable in that management, and therefore you're able to give most of your time. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, let us say you have a, you know, what we, you know, generally kind of look at as a, you know, nicely situated grihastha, right? So let us say, you know, let's even, you know, put him on a little bit more on the fanatic side, okay? So he's coming to Mangalarti, the whole morning program, you know, every day of the week. Right? And then, you know, Saturday, you know, and Sunday he comes and spends some time in the day and stuff like that. You know, and festivals and they're there. Okay? We would agree that would be. And we're definitely taking, you know, the extreme.
Over the top. But yeah, okay, yeah. We'll let it slide.
Yeah, we'll let it slide. Okay. You'd rather I'd say he shows up for Darshan Arti? Okay. So, that you understand? But, okay. And we'll all say, well, that's fine. But the point is, okay, Mangalarti's at 4:30, and the program ends at 9. So even if he stays for Prashad, it's 9:30. So that's 5 hours. Okay? Mm. What about the other 18? That means, what is it? 19 hours. Mm. What's happening there? We don't worry about that. So that's why we shouldn't worry about what the rich man does with his spare time, or the guy with a big position, or the guy. We don't worry about the other. Why should we worry about him? You know, so all it is somebody who's in different social strata than us, or different economic, we worry about that. But the thing is for our position, there's those below our one, they'll be saying the same thing about us, and we'll just say, no, this is normal. So for them, that's normal. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Fear and desire are extremely base, right? But it's not that we don't starve. It means they are extremely base. But the point is if we're extremely base, that's where we start from. You know what I'm saying? That's what his point before is. Nothing's wrong. It's just you have to start from there and apply it. When a devotee's intelligence becomes clear, he gives up fear and desire. Thus, duty and gratitude become the sole motives. Right? So duty and gratitude, because that's the mode of goodness. That's what's recommended. The other two aren't recommended because you're dealing with modes of passion and ignorance. And those can be very distracting. Right? Because fear, then, because of ignorance, you can stop devotional service. Passion, you'll do it as long as you're getting the results. If you're not getting the results, you may give up. But gratitude and duty, that's you're supposed to do, and you see the benefits and all that, so therefore you're inspired to continue doing the duty. That's sustainable. That's why the mode of goodness is recommended. It's not that you can't use passion and ignorance. That's why they gave the example of Dhruva Maharaj. He's using passion, but it's not ideal. We don't have a lot of other examples. You know, the Bhagavatam, there's not many that are based on, you know, these two. Mm-hmm. Much more based on duty and gratitude. Yes?
How to clear the intelligence?
How to clear the intelligence? Just naturally by the means, that's what manana is that by hearing and applying what you hear. You've heard shravana, so now you contemplate it and you apply it. That practice, that will clear the intelligence. Because when you use it, that's what clears. Even by hearing, you're clearing. But when you go to apply it, there's more, because then you're, again, you know, hearing on your, you know, yourself. You know, you've heard, now you're repeating what you've heard and then trying to apply it and seeing how that works and everything like that. So that will then generate more. Does that make sense? And as long as raga towards the Lord does not appear, the devotee should not give up worship according to duty. Right? It means what he's supposed to be doing, that's what he should be doing. From the sense of duty, two standards arise: to respect the rules vidhi and to avoid breaking the rules, nished. These rules for worship of the Lord were established by great devotees long ago. Okay, so here we're getting some interesting elements, because generally raga is not analyzed, mm-hmm. its position. You know, what someone does in rag, or what are the inspirations in rag, are much of the time discussed, but just the position of it, that's not really much discussed. No. No, that you respect the rules, because the sahajis don't respect the rules.
No, he addresses this point to them?
In general, because the thing is niyamagraha means you're following the rule but not understanding what it's for, or you're giving up the rule because you don't understand what it's for. Both of them are doing due to ignorance. So this is the cause of that overly sentimental, or you just, you know, do what you like. You know, so both of these due to the improper understanding. So you're not giving up worship according to duty, right? So, but even if someone comes to the platform of rag, he's not doing the duty because of that sense of duty or that. That's just the way to serve the Lord, because as says here, the rules for worship of the Lord were established by great devotees long ago. So he's just following the footsteps of the great devotees. He's not doing it because he's supposed to do it, or this is the rule. This is how the great devotees serve Krishna. But it's the same, it looks the same, as the person is doing it out of gratitude or duty. Right? So in other words, the person practicing raga nuga, you're not going to really be able to tell the difference between him and a vaidhi sadhaka. In form. Attitude, yes, but in form, no. That's also, much of the time, a misunderstood idea, is that rag means it's a different process. It's not a different process. It's a different attitude in the same process. Right? That's the thing, but sometimes it's counted as its own sadhana. You know what I'm saying?
Do people misunderstand raga?
You know what I'm saying? There's vaidhi sadhana and raga nuga sadhana. It's not that there's vaidhi, there's a class of sadhana for vaidhi and there's a class of sadhana for rag. No, it's sadhana bhakti, and it's either performed in vaidhi or in rag. The sadhana is the same. Right? Some try to make it look like the sadhana is different. It's not different. Just the attitude's different. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're eating the halva because you're supposed to eat the halva. You're eating the halva because you like to eat the halva. But the halva is the same. Well, the inspiration, yeah. Well, that, but the point is the halva is the same. Like that. Yes.
Do people misunderstand raga nuga for avadhoots?
Avadhuts are in another category because they're following still the process, but they're just doing it on the Uttam platform. Mm. So within there means, in other words, someone who's an actual avadhut. I mean, you're going to have someone who's socially a bit of an avadhut. You get those. But that's just, you know, they're pleasantly socially dysfunctional. You know, so then, you know, it's kind of, you know, can't be either more towards cute or more towards annoying, but like that. But that's, they would be like that if they weren't devotees. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The avadhut that we're talking about here is on the Uttama platform. So they are within meditation, following all what they're supposed to be doing, their mm-hmm. service mm-hmm. in meditation in Vrindavan, in the eternal pastimes. In other words, in their sarup. Mm-hmm. So if they don't follow rules here, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So there's not a case where you do whatever you like. That's the mode of ignorance. Mm-hmm. Mode of ignorance is whimsical. Yeah. No, it's just that you're not following here because you're following there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, the police walks into wherever they like, right?
Mm-hmm.
But do they have to show their badge?
Yes.
They have to show the badge, right? So they're not just doing, they have their own process.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody else is standing there and waiting or this or that or kept back. They just walk in, but they have to show the badge. They have their own sadhana. So in other words, they're not following sadhana bhakti, they're following bhav sadhana. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, or if they're nitya, they're just, you know, they're just activities of prema. They just happen to be here to give benefit. Saying that's why there's not generally very many devotees acting as avadhuts. Because it's hard to understand.
Yeah.
You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't let his disciples associate with his godbrother.
Yeah.
Like that. Because then they wouldn't understand. So he had 60,000 disciples. One of them he allowed to go over there and see that he was okay and take care and all that, because he was the only one who could deal with it. And the other, you know, 59,999 were not allowed to go. So therefore, it's not a general standard. So the point is the person on the Uttama platform doesn't have to follow the rules, but generally for the benefit of others, he does.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to, but he does.
Yeah.
Because the others will try to do what he does, and they won't be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I heard Bhaktivedanta Swami used to ask to be engaged in Krishna's service when he would take rest. And then I heard another one that when Prabhupada said, sometimes whenever we are very hungry, we are taking Krishna Vasadam, very sumptuous. He's saying like this. So my question is, we can sleep for Lord Chaitanya, you know, if we're getting up for book distribution, you know, like this. How can we, because this is like quite a chunk of time, you know, 6-7 hours like that, you know. Like personally speaking, so how can we get purified in this? Or should we?
Now you properly regulate in way sleep, so that if it's time to sleep, you're sleeping, not doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not sitting around with the other brahmacharis talking, whatever brahmacharis like to talk about. You know, all the important things. You know what I'm saying? It's time to sleep. You do that because that's your service.
I heard that you can move through karma very quickly whenever it's on a subtle platform like that. You can go through a lot of karma very fast.
That I don't, not sure about. All I know is that if you sleep well, then you'll be awake the next day, right? And sleep is one of the functions of intelligence.
Mm.
So if you don't sleep, the intelligence doesn't work.
Mm.
Right? So therefore, you have to get proper rest. That doesn't mean you sleep all day. Because otherwise, when do you have the time to, you know, show your excellently developed intelligence from all the sleep, right? The koala bears sleep, I think, 22 hours a day, but, you know, somehow or another, no one's really appreciating the development of higher intelligence from that process. So. Okay. As long as As long as rag towards the Lord does not appear, the devotee should not give up worshiping, according to duty. From the sense of duty, two standards arise: to respect the rules, vidhi, and to avoid breaking the rules, nisheda. These rules for worship the Lord were established by great devotees long ago, footnote 17. There are two processes of practical devotional service. One is regulative devotional service, and the other is spontaneous devotional service. Though have not attained the platform of spontaneous attachment in devotional service, render devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master according to regulative principles mentioned in the revealed scriptures. According to the revealed scriptures, this kind of devotional service is called Vaidhi Bhakti. And, so this is the rules for worship the Lord were established by great devotees long ago, so that's the Vaidhi, and recorded in the scriptures. 18. Krishna has many types of devotees. Some are servants, some are friends, some are parents, and some are conjugal lovers. Those who are situated in one of these attitudes of spontaneous love according to their choice are considered to be on the path of spontaneous loving service. Madhya Lila 22:161. Devotees who receive such transcendental opulences are never bereft of them. Neither weapons nor the change of time can destroy such opulences. Because the devotee accept me as their friend, their relative, their son, preceptor, benefactor, and supreme deity, they cannot be deprived of their possessions at any time. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-38. So in other words, if you've been deprived of them, then you know Krishna did it. Because material nature can't do it. You know, won't, you know, because if Krishna's given, why would Maya take it away?
But then you are responsible yourself, right? Krishna wouldn't just take it away. I mean, he's a Maya.
No,
right?
means in other words, there must be some reason to take it away.
Yeah.
Following the scriptures in reverence for the rules arises from the sense of duty. Right? Until rag appears, one should worship the Lord on the platform of duty and no lower. Mm-hmm. Unexamining means means if you are lower than that, then you're trying to get to the point of doing it because of it's supposed to be done. Unless, of course, you can go from the one and cross right across. But the point is that naturally from doing the one, you'll come to the sense of duty. But the sense of duty should be continued. That should always be there until that natural spontaneous element comes. Right? On examining the historical records of all types of people around the world, it will be obvious that faith in God is man's common and constant characteristic. Uncivilized forest tribals survive like animals on animal flesh, but they also worship the sun, the moon, huge mountains, large rivers, and tall trees as their benefactors and controllers. Why do they do this? Although the soul is extremely bound up, his faith in the Lord, his natural quality as spirit soul, will gradually manifest as the greed that the material covering is weakened. Footnote 19. By the influence time, the transcendental sound of Vedic knowledge was lost at the time of annihilation. Therefore, when the subsequent creation took place, I spoke the Vedic knowledge to Brahma. Because I myself am the religious principles enunciated in the Vedas. Is this one squeaking? Oh, it's the chipmunks. Is it? Okay. I myself am the religious principles enunciated in the Vedas. Lord Brahma spoke this Vedic. He spoke this Vedic. Yes, he spoke this Vedic.
Wait.
Brahma's going to say something. This Vedic.
I think he spoke this Vedic knowledge to Narayamuni, who spoke the Vyas.
Okay.
<That's> my theory.
Okay. Okay, say this. You should investigate your theory. Yeah, okay. So in other words, is that with time it gets lost, but because Krishna is the principles therefore again they're manifest. So he is the principle. So in some way or another, even he says, uncivilized forest tribe, they still have a sense of the supreme and that worship and that particular gratefulness and why they do that. Or, you know what I'm saying? Even amongst them, they would consider it's not very mature if they're only following their own rituals just out of fear or because of material benefit they want to get. But there'd be that sense of duty that you're supposed to, because this is the supreme and we are here in the creation and this is our part. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's like that. So, however, when man becomes civilized and takes to various types of knowledge and education, his faith becomes more covered due to materialistic logic. Right, because the other is natural. You're out in a natural environment. Mm-hmm. You can't not appreciate the power of nature. Right? And so then you understand there's some supreme force. Like that. Mm. But when man so-called becomes civilized, then the problem is because of his materialistic logic, it becomes covered even more. Yes.
There was one journalist in London who asked Prabhupada, what is hell? And he said, this is hell.
Yeah.
Meaning
journalism, or are you meaning
London? London, a general area. Yeah.
Or journalists in London. Then atheism, or worse, voidism, takes hold of his mind. Right? See, atheism is bad because you don't believe in God, but you're always talking about how God's not there. You know, like Kamsa, he's always absorbed in God, but I think God's not. But voidism means there's nothing. So that's worse. To say there is nothing, there is no, it's just not there. That's the worst, because then you're not even accepting existence and individuals and relationships and all that. Atheism is just you don't believe that he's there. You're there, but he's not there. One should understand that such beliefs are the symptoms of an unhealthy, weak soul. Right?
Voidism means Buddhism?
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, there's so many, you know, derivatives, but that's the basic, you know. In other words, you have fruitive worker, the karmi, you have the jnani, who's the impersonalist, and then you have the atheist, the Buddhist. It doesn't believe in like that.
Is it the jnani is the intellectual optimist, and then the Buddhist is the intellectual pessimist?
No, the others, they're both pessimists. But at least there's Brahman that's still left, and the other one that does nothing is left. Because Brahman, in other words, I try for material benefits, it didn't work, so I become a pessimist and say all there is the spiritual. And then when that, I don't find satisfaction there, then I become a Buddhist and say there's nothing. And then when I get tired of nothing, then I again go back to, karma. You know, yeah, karma.
It's like a sour grapes philosophy.
Yeah, but this is really sour. There are no grapes, and they're not sour. Yes. Okay, so enter.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki.
Jai.
Janitāya Gaura Premanandini.
Hare.